Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com. During the month of February, enjoy discounts and silver giveaways to commemorate Amagi's 4-year anniversary. Check out amagimetals.com anniversary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report. I'm here with my special guest and friend, Julie Borowski. Julie Borowski is the token libertarian girl. You may have seen her recently where she appeared in an episode of Stossel's show on Fox Business at the International Students for Liberty Conference. And today we're going to be talking about breed-specific legislation, specifically laws that outlaw or ban certain types of breeds of dogs. Julie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Austin. Thank you for having me back on.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, Julie. So tell me, what first prompted your interest in breed-specific legislation?
Well, I've always loved dogs. It's like my biggest passion in life, even before liberty. So when I can combine dogs and liberty together, it's absolutely amazing. But I've been following breed-specific legislation, BSL, for many years. I haven't really seen it talked about in libertarian circles. So I decided to make a video to raise awareness, and I think it's going really well. More people are realizing, hey, this is a problem. The government is telling you what kind of dog you can or cannot own.
Now, the city of Denver, Colorado, has taken hundreds of pit bulls from their owners and killed them, sometimes even having animal control officers climb over the fence and grab dogs right out of people's backyards. Would you say that this is a property rights issue?
Yes, it's definitely a property rights issue. Over 700 U.S. cities have some form of BSL laws. I would say it's the most oppressive in Denver, Colorado. There was a leaked photo from an animal shelter over there of just stacks and stacks of pit bulls dead. They euthanized them, and they're taking them from their homes. You know, I don't want to compare it to the Holocaust, but I understand it's completely different. But really, people are hiding their dogs in their homes, and they're getting a knock on the door from animal control. A lot of people don't realize that they have to have warrants to come into their houses. So they're coming into their houses and they're taking their dogs away and euthanizing them. These dogs are completely innocent. They have not attacked anyone. You know, we like to say punish the deed, not the breed. You're punishing the breed. You're punishing people or dogs based on what they look like. And yeah, animal control has climbed over people's fences in their backyard and stolen their dogs and took them and euthanized them. That's absolutely, I cannot imagine someone doing that to my dogs, killing them because of how they look. That's absolutely insane to me.
Now, you and I would agree on this issue. We tend to come from the same side of the fence on this, but I want to play the skeptical libertarian on this for a moment, and I'd like to just sort of play devil's advocate because, you know, I'm curious about where these laws come from, and the reason why these laws generally are pushed or passed is because people who push for these generally tend to believe that certain types of dogs are more dangerous inherently than others. Is that true?
I think it highly, highly depends on the owner of the dog. I know a lot of people have a bad reputation about pit bulls because they see, you know, the drug dealing dogs, they have pit bulls. But a lot of pit bulls are very loyal, lovely family dogs. You know, back in the 1970s, they blamed the German Shepherds. The 1980s, it was the Dobermans. The 1990s, the Rottweilers. Today, it's the pit bulls, which is the general type of dog. Back in the 1800s, it was actually bloodhounds. So they're really trying to change it and say these dogs are bad. Well, it's really the owner. If the owner trained the dog to be aggressive, especially the pit bulls, the general type of dog, they really want to please their owners. So if you raise a dog to be aggressive, it's going to be aggressive. If you teach it to be a family dog and you socialize it early, the dog's going to be extremely a loving dog. You know, also the media is to blame for part of this because, you know, If you have, you know, a black lab kills a kid, which happens more often than you might think, the media doesn't report on it. But as soon as a pit bull kills a kid, it's all over the news because that's sexy. So that's really a bad reputation with pit bulls. And pit bulls can be loving dogs. I made a video, and I asked for people to send pictures of their dogs. And they were very loving dogs. There's pictures of babies and pit bulls, which you might not see. You might not think they go together. But they can be very loving dogs based on their owner.
Now, the difference between a poorly socialized pit bull and a poorly socialized chihuahua is that a poorly socialized chihuahua is most likely not going to have the ability to tear the throat out of a child if it happens mm-hmm. to get loose. So can you see sort of where opponents, where people who are proponents of breed legislation are coming from?
Yeah, I actually used to work at a dog kennel, so I've dealt with all kinds of different breeds of dogs. I would say the little ones are more likely to bite you, especially chihuahuas. They get scared and they will bite you. But of course, if you, a chihuahua bites you, you know, it might sting, but it's not, you know, anything serious. I would say actually the bigger dogs are more less likely to bite you because they're more trained well. I think that's really, I think I just want to emphasize, it's more about the training. And if you make pit bulls illegal, what it's going to do is, like I call the drug dealing thugs, it's going to make them more appealing because they want to have, you know, the bad dog. They want to, you know, be an intimidating dog. And so really, if you make them illegal, they're like, hey, I want a pit bull because that sounds illegal even more so. So it's really going to encourage bad breeding and just bad owners of these dogs.
Okay, now I want to talk to you about, I want to go beyond the property rights debate. I'd like to talk to you about the concept of animal rights, Julie, because that's the kind of thing that becomes very controversial in libertarian circles. And you know, one of the most radical libertarian authors and scholars, a man by the name of Murray Rothbard, wrote an article about animal rights, and he basically concluded that animals should not have rights. And the way that he theorized this is that he believed that interspecies survival was a matter of tooth and claw, and that animals shouldn't have rights because their nature is inherently contrary to humans. And although we sort of, you know, we live in a civilized society now, if we lived in the laws of the jungle, if we lived in the jungle, then, you know, we would say no, animals don't have rights because we would kill them as a matter of our own survival. Now we live in a civilized society, and in this day and age, you know, we have mostly domesticated animals. So would you say that the fact that we have a civilization and a government now, that there should be rights extended to animals?
I think it's a complicated issue, and it depends on what you mean by animal rights. Personally, I'm very against animal abuse or anything like that. And I don't think laws are necessarily the answer to it. I think it's really a society thing, and you need to encourage people to treat their pets with respect. And really, if people are tying their dog out in their yard or locking their dog into cars in the middle of summer, I think that's something they should be publicly shamed for. And I don't think laws are necessarily the answer there. And I would encourage people, you know, to spay or neuter their pets because they make them less aggressive. I don't think laws are the answer. I think it's really just encouraging people to be good pet owners.
Okay, so I mean, I want to get controversial here because I think that these are the kinds of things that, you know, we may be splitting hairs here, but these are the issues that I think people really do care about. Now, a lot of people think that there should be laws against things like torturing and murdering animals. Say, for example, if somebody wanted to have a dog fighting ring, should dog fighting be illegal?
That seems to me is very, I don't think laws will prevent it. I am very opposed to dog fighting. I'm very opposed to Michael Vick. I hate that guy so much. But I don't think laws are really going to prevent that. If you make it illegal, you're going to even make it more profitable. You know, people want it to be. But the thing about dog fighting is that it's so dangerous and it can be underground and, it's very intimidating. I think if you make it illegal, it's really going to make it even more desirable to people to be involved in something like that. Mm-hmm. And that sounds so terrible, but I think really just publicly shaming people and, you know, really encourage against it. I'm very supportive of rescues or rescue dogs from animal fighting. I think it's disgusting, but I don't think laws are necessarily the answer.
Okay, well, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this once, and he talked about rights extended to animals based on their capacity to suffer. And I sort of empathize with that argument because I see that it seems to me that there's something wrong with the culture that would not punish people, for example, who would have not even say, let's say dogfighting, let's say something worse. Let's say that every week groups of teenagers got together in the public square and they decided to have a good old-fashioned cat burning. And they put cats in cages, lit them on, you know, doused them with gasoline and lit them on fire. Now, that is illegal in our society today. And those are the kinds of laws that I really, as a libertarian, just don't have a problem with, because I think that there has to be some sort of stop guard to stop people from doing things like torturing animals that have the capacity for suffering. Now, this doesn't make me a vegan or a vegetarian or anything like that. It doesn't mean that and I understand that, you know, the animals that we do eat tend to, you know, they do have a capacity for suffering as well, and I'd like to mitigate that as much as possible. But I don't really have a problem with there being laws against burning, you know, a weekly cat burning in the town square. So you think that if we didn't have laws against something like that, that it would be the kind of thing that society could handle without government involvement?
I do think society could handle something that absolutely disgusting. I think there are other ways of stopping it and set up just laws. You know, if somebody would burn a cat or have a, you know, cat burning every week in the town, I think people would go and protest, stand in their way, and thank God for those people. I don't think the laws are the answer. That's the problem.
You know, I think the question here is that it's not that the law, that we think that the law is going to stop it. It's more that we would have the legal authority to stop them. And again, you know, I don't believe in a utopian society. I don't believe that there's any way for us to create some sort of a perfect idealized society where the laws necessarily create the society. But what the law does is, in essence, it gives us a system of justice in order to punish people who cause harm to others. And when you say others, I would extend certain animals those rights, because we do have a symbiotic relationship with animals in this world. You know, again, I'm not a big animal rights activist. I don't go so far as PETA and things like that, but I do like the Humane Society, and I sympathize with your fight on breed specific legislation. And I, you know, when I see stories like the dolphins that are slaughtered in Japan, you know, it just tears my heart out. And again, I don't know if government is a solution to something like that, but I think what happens is that if we want to have justice, then we have to have a way to punish humans for their maladjusted behavior. And it's not that I necessarily want to throw somebody in cages for an extended period of time, but if you have a group of teenagers who are burning cats, if I don't have the authority to go in and violently stop them individually, who should? You know, I mean, if we had anarchy, you know, if we had no laws, you could say, oh, well, then any person can just go in there and stop them. Well, no, the reason that we have a government or a limited government is so that people like police that we hire have the authority to go in and stop that kind of socially, what I see as maladjusted behavior. I mean, do you disagree with that? Do you think that ultimately that no laws are necessary, and that, like, just, you know, shaming those people would cause that behavior to stop, and that if that were to go on, that nobody should have the authority to intervene?
If I saw it happening, I would intervene myself. I would stand in their way and say, you know, come through me. I'm not gonna move. You know, like the tree huggers that came and touched the trees. I would probably do that to save an animal. Right. But I think society has different ways of punishing people, not necessarily through, you know, as you said, throwing them in cages or fining them or whatever. I think if somebody's a known animal abuser, well, you know, who's going to hire that person, you know? But it's really a society, you know, putting pressure on people to be nice to animals. If you're a known animal abuser, who's going to, you know, as I said, hire you? Who's going to date you? I certainly want to date an animal abuser. So there's really a public pressure to pay people nice to animals, and thank goodness for that.
Oh, very interesting. Well, that's a really interesting topic, Julie, and I thank you for your speaking out on this issue, because I'm a big animal lover as well. You know, again, not like a bleeding heart PETA activist, but I do think that animals are on this earth for us to take care of and be the stewards of. So thank you for speaking out on this issue, Julie, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Sure. Thank you for having me on, Austin.
Yep. Have a great day.